This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Critically ill or seriously injured patients need state-of-the-art diagnostic services and expert care. Care that can be accessed 24/7 at the emergency department at Upstate Medical University. We'll hear with more on this is the new medical director for the emergency department, Dr. Jeremy Joslin. Thanks for coming in, Dr. Joslin.
Thanks for having me.
So we all know that it's difficult, it's frightening when you have a medical emergency and you need swift and excellent medical attention. What happens when someone comes to the emergency room at emergency department at Upstate Medical University?
Yeah, it certainly can be. For some people, it's the worst day of their life. We try to think of it as being in the business of organizing what might feel like chaos to the patient and try to help you through it. And so we pay particular attention to every part of our operation. If you come by ambulance or if you walk in the door, we have a specific parts of our team that will meet you there, that will find out why you're there, and will sort out whether you need to be seen emergently or whether somebody else who might be arrived around the same time needs to be seen more urgently. So we'll sort that out. We'll get you back to a room as quickly as we can. And meanwhile, we'll be trying to get some information from you. We try to do things as much at the same time as possible. So we think of them as trying to do these types of operations in parallel versus in series. And so you might get greeted by somebody who's asking you about registration information, so your name and address. At the same time, you might have a nurse who's starting to get vital signs on you. So we try not to waste any time. We try to do as much as we can do at the same time in a team approach to try to get a handle on what's going on, get things organized, and try to give you some feedback on what's going on and what we anticipate that you'll need.
Is that what you would call triaging? That's an oftenly commonly used phrase.
Right. So some places think of triage as a location where you go. We prefer to think of it as a process. And so the process of triaging is to sort out what's going on.
And prioritizing. Right. Who needs help when, yep. How quickly, and all of that. Well, as a level one trauma center, you must have some other very, very significant challenges that come into play. Tell us about those.
We do. We're the level one trauma center for the region, and so we cover, I believe at last count, it was something like 19 counties where we provide the primary level one trauma coverage. And so it can be a challenge because we're constantly receiving patients from the north part of the state or the south part of the state at the same time that we're serving the city of Syracuse and the county. We're also serving the region. And so sometimes that can be a challenge to take care of so many patients at the same time.
What kinds of, when we say level one trauma center, for those listeners who don't understand what that means, help us understand who are those patients that you would be seeing?
So there is a little bit of technicalities that go into how you would create a level one or level two trauma center. But being the level one trauma center, we are the location where patients who've had a traumatic injury will end up for definitive care if a lower designated trauma center can't care for that type of injury.
So what kinds of trauma? Are we talking about motorcycle accidents, fire? I mean, what are the kinds of things we're talking
about? We really do get everything. So spine injuries, brain injuries, motor
gunshot
vehicle crashes,
wounds.
Penetrating trauma. Yeah, the serious end of trauma.
So anyone who sustained a serious traumatic injury of some kind would generally, in our region, come here?
Correct.
I see. So, you know, you've been working in the field a very long time, I know, and I won't say that long, but a long time. What have you seen in terms of the new challenges that seem to be emerging for emergency departments? And what comes to mind, in my mind, are things like, you know, some natural disasters we've had, you know, all kinds of things of that nature, tornadoes in our country, that kind of stuff. And most recently, some of the outbreaks for infectious diseases like Ebola or others. What are some of the challenges that have, you know, newer challenges that have come into play that you've had to rise to, and how has that changed the emergency department?
Yeah, I think our emergency department has done a fantastic job recently. The example that comes to mind is the enterovirus D68. And so that was our most recent challenge. Certainly Ebola is on the horizon as a potential challenge. And as you mentioned, all of these types of epidemics or pandemics can provide a challenge to us because we're used to operating in an environment with a expected volume for a day or for the month. And these types of events cause surges for us. And so it can be a bit of a challenge for any industry to deal with a surge. When your volume of patients goes up by several percent or by 10, 20, 30%, that can create a challenge just because of the physical limitations of the space that we have and the providers that we have. But I think we've done fantastic at rising to those challenges. We've certainly overcome them most recently. And, you know, the people who work in the emergency department, from techs, nurses to physicians, are of that type of person that rise to that type of challenge and meet it head on. And I think that that's demonstrated time and time again for us.
But how about things like training and preparedness? I mean, you know, most recently with this, the new Ebola problem and the outbreak, the problem that occurred in Dallas in an emergency room where the patient who clearly had Ebola symptoms was turned away. I mean, has there been more of an effort to sharpen the point on certain kinds of intake information and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And, you know, the first case is a needle in the haystack type of a phenomenon, but certainly it's at the forefront. If you've read the news that hospitals are doing drills and doing a lot of preparation work, we're certainly at the forefront of that type of preparation work and refining our processes and reviewing procedures and detailing things that we haven't had to think about before. But certainly we're doing all that in the background, and we do want it to in some way stay in the background as something that's, we want to provide that same front end great service on the front, but realize that in the background we are working pretty heavily on those types of things.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Jeremy Joslin. He's the new medical director of the emergency department at Upstate Medical University. What's your vision for how emergency medicine should continue to expand and grow beyond what it's currently doing?
I think we provide a good model of that already. So here at Upstate, we have multiple subspecialties in emergency medicine that other places don't provide. So we have an excellent toxicology service. We have hyperbarics. We have wilderness medicine. We have EMS. We have pediatrics. The list can go on and on. We have geriatrics now. And so those are the types of ways where emergency medicine can expand and expand in a way where we are the experts in certain subspecialties and the patients who present to our emergency department. And we really do try to improve that and expand on that as much as we can.
Help us understand when you say, you mentioned a whole string of things.
Yeah.
So let's go back over a couple of them. I mean, I understand that you've recently opened a geriatric emergency department, and I know there's a pediatric, so you're really specializing in different needs for different populations who may need emergency care. But when you talk about something like the hyperbarics or the wilderness, how does that, what kind of patients would be affected by that? How does that manifest itself in terms of care?
So, for example, the hyperbarics, hyperbaric medicine might be called on for a patient who has had a carbon monoxide poisoning. And we know that in certain types of patients like that, hyperbaric medicine can help treat them in a way that standard medicine can't. Another example for hyperbarics might be a dive injury. And so there's certainly an industry of diving around, and you can get the bends, and the treatment for that would be hyperbarics.
So this is specialty services that you would offer that go that in an emergency, mm-hmm. that aren't found elsewhere.
Correct. Yeah, we really are, I think, a model and example for having these subspecialty emergency services available to the community. And I think we do it more of it. We do it better than anybody else in the region.
Now, with your new tenure here as the director, medical director, what types of changes do you envision that patients should expect to see?
Well, I would expect that patients can find comfort and a little bit of education so that they understand what's going on. That would be what I would wish for with patients who come here. You know, some of the challenges is that we've expanded our volume, and so if you do come, it might seem like a pretty busy day. We have a lot of busy days, that's one of the challenges is just being able to take care of that volume of patients. And I'd like to try to make it a little bit more comfortable for patients. So that's definitely on our agenda.
Tell me about your staffing. How are people trained, the physicians, the nurses? I mean, what's the emphasis?
Well, I could tell you from the physician's perspective, a medical student would go through undergrad. They would go through medical school for 4 years. They would have to apply for a training residency training program in emergency medicine. And we were able to select the best of the candidates that apply for us. And then that residency is 3 years of training. So we have a residency training program here where we have a number of young doctors who are learning how to do emergency medicine. So this particular and specific problems that are inherent in emergency medicine might not be completely absorbed and learned during medical school. So this is the time where those young doctors get to learn emergency medicine and the intricacies of it.
What are the kinds of people generally in your experience that choose to go into emergency medicine? What are their skill sets, or what, if I know these are sweeping generalizations.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's you've got to be able to handle a lot of different information and synthesize it on your feet. And so cognitive ability has to be there. You have to be able to use your hands, so have some technical skills, so being able to suture, intubate, those types of skills. And then the other thing is the ability to juggle what can seem like a lot going on at the same time.
And not forget any details.
Right, and be able to handle that and prioritize in real time. That multitasking is definitely a skill set that we look for.
It sounds like a great challenge to become a really good emergency department doctor. So as you take over the reins as the medical director of the emergency department at Upstate, what are some of your goals?
Yeah, my goals are to try, number one is to try to just even do a better job than I think we're doing now with getting patients in a streamlined way. So believe it or not, there's a lot that goes on backstage. If you think of Disney World and all the stuff that goes on that you don't know about, there's a lot that goes on in the emergency department, and there's a lot of processes that we can streamline. That's part of my goal is to try to make things even better when from the time you hit the door to the time where you're receiving care, streamline those processes. Certainly, I feel like physicians everywhere can do a better job at talking to the patient, keeping them informed of what's going on. These are the types of things that we're talking about at a national level with emergency departments and emergency physicians. But those are things that we can bring home here and improve on. And that's one of my goals.
It sounds to me like being informed and knowing what's going to happen to you in that kind of setting when you're nervous and you're anxious could be a crucial part of how you feel both there and after.
Absolutely, and that's something that we really key in on. We strive to provide that to patients, and certainly that's our expectation for our physicians, for our nurses, all of our staff, is to keep the patient informed, really from the time that they get there until the time that they leave, and even when you're leaving, informed of this is what we did today, this is what you should be doing going forward, this is the type of follow-up that you should receive and try to seek out, and if you need any help, let us know.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you. My guest has been Dr. Jeremy Joslin. He's Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine, and he's the new Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.